Among the church's treasuries, now the church has a lot of things, a lot of musical treasuries. Lots of hymns and songs and new songs are always being made. But among them are the Christmas carols. And these are songs that celebrate the Advent season. And most have rich messages. They contain rich messages, like this one that we sang. In fact, I was thinking as we sung this song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, how many of the same themes are in the song of O Come Emmanuel. It is about the longing that we have for Christ to come. It even mentions that, the longing heart, joy of every longing heart. So most of them have messages that speak of Christ's first coming. Now, this one happens to be the oldest Christmas carol that is still popular today. We still sing one of the oldest Christmas carols, O Come Emmanuel. It was a Latin chant from the 8th century. And it was sung in what they call monophonic tune. In other words, they call it plain song. Plain song is just a note. So you just have plain notes, simple notes without harmony. And today's melody was actually taken a little bit from that melody and sort of revised a little bit and made for what it is today. In the 1800s, it was finalized, and that's what we sing today. Well, this carol lends itself very well to a message about the Advent season, not just by capturing our human longing for redemption, but it's our longing for deliverance and peace. And we see this in this in all this longing that is in the Gospels and in the Old Testament. It's sort of like a fulfillment of that, described by the song itself. And it actually mentions Isaiah 59. I just picked this verse because it basically sums up the whole song. And it's Isaiah 59:20. The Redeemer will come. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. And this was the longing that was in the Old Testament. They wanted the Redeemer to come. This song became known as the Seven O's. It was called the Seven O's. And the reason it was called the Seven O's is because each stanza begins with O. Oh, this. Oh, Lord. It's like an address to God, or to Christ, to Emmanuel. And it's O. Well, there's seven of these, and we're only going to take six of them. Now, we don't sing all of these all the time. Once in a while, you've probably heard these before, but I left out because we don't hardly sing it at all. Well, I want to start with the original one. the original concluding verse is the first verse that we sing. I found the Latin, and I looked at the Latin, and I found out how it went and how it was translated. And so I looked at that order and I said, that's interesting. Well, that's not how we sing it. Well, we sing the last stanza first because it is a great introduction to this whole longing thing, this whole idea. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Now, the church always identified itself as the Israel, the sojourning people that were waiting for God's kingdom. And the word means Prince of God. And it's almost like God has ordained for us to be part of His kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the King, so we are princes and princesses. We are that Israel. So this biblical expression for longing for salvation from the hand of God, it's in that verse again. I'll read it. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. This longing is an anticipation. Believers know that God alone is the source of our salvation. It's an anticipation. We are longing. We are waiting. We know that only God can help us. our religious efforts, we have religious efforts that we do, but they fail to do the job. This longing is an attitude. It's a mourning over our sin problem. And we need deliverance from our sins. That's why we can mourn as well as long for His salvation. And this human longing, that is really, you'll see it in every verse. You'll see every verse talking about a human longing. It's always closing with a rejoicing. It's like every human longing that we have is turned to joy at the advent of Emmanuel. So each stanza ends with this change in melody, change in emphasis. You'll see exclamation points there. God is with us now as Redeemer. So rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come. He shall come, but Emmanuel has come to redeem thee, O Israel. In the second verse, now the second verse is originally the first verse. And this is often not sung. But when they don't sing this, they skipped over this, it's a great loss, I believe. Because here's what it says. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Isn't that beautiful? We need God's wisdom. Why do we long for wisdom from on high? Well, all human wisdom from the sages of the ages. I thought that was a good term. The sages of the ages. That's where all of our gathered wisdom comes, you know. And all of the knowledge that we've accumulated through modern science, you know, we've had all this new technology and everything that it offers us, it all fails to lead us into personal and global peace. Doesn't it? It doesn't. It never has. It always promises that, but it hasn't. The coming of Emmanuel, God with us, fulfills our longing. Here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus is our wisdom. Wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. All those things are God's wisdom, and that's what we talk about when we say salvation. It's our wisdom. It's God's wisdom, and Jesus is that wisdom. This next stanza expresses our longing for deliverance, and this is a familiar one, although we don't sing it all the time. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. This is a great longing we have. It's a longing for deliverance. And this is about a descendant of David. It was prophesied that a descendant of David was to spring up from the devastated house of David, the son of Jesse. So thou rod of Jesse is where that comes from. Here's the prophecy in Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. Now the full impact of that rod of Jesse, that branch that would come, is not really fully realized until it bears fruit in what we see here as the cross of Jesus Christ. What we have celebrated here today in the communion table. That was the full impact of this branch of David, this coming, that looked like everything was devastated. The whole kingdom was devastated, and the house of David was gone in a sense. But here comes this descendant of David, called here the rod of Jesse, that would come. But we only realize the full impact of that when Satan's tyranny has been defeated by Christ's cross, or when the gospel begins to save souls from the depths of hell, is what this stanza talks about, or when Jesus' resurrection brings a victory over the grave, because it is. It's the first victory over the grave in Christ's resurrection. It's only the first of many resurrections, ours, when we die and are raised again. So, rejoice, rejoice, O people of God. Emmanuel, God with us, will not leave us to the enemy of our souls, to Satan's tyranny. He will not leave us to the ravages of hellish living, but will bring his wisdom, his righteousness, his holiness, nor to the despair of death, the despair of the grave. He will free us from them all. That is the deliverance that this verse talks about. Emmanuel's coming is the key of our highest aspirations, and that's in the next verse. What is our highest aspirations? Well, O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Close the path to misery. We often pray for open doors. You know, we say, I just pray that I'll have an open door for this or that different kinds of thing, especially in different projects that we plan and so on. I just need that open door. But our requests are often guided by temporal goals. Goals that are really just for a short amount of time, and they don't last. But God, the God of eternity, wants to unlock our hearts to eternal values, things that last forever. And he wants to close them to worthless ones. He wants to close those doors. Here's the prophecy in Isaiah, and most of these prophecies about the Emmanuel is coming from Isaiah, where the first prophecy of Emmanuel came from. And in Isaiah 22:22, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I don't know if you guys remember this TV series. It lasted for a couple of years. It was called Highway to Heaven. Do you remember that? Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon, and I forget the other actor's name, or the other angel. It was a TV show about two angels, and they were helping people out of trouble. That's like how to get the highway to heaven is to help them out of their present problems and to point them in the right direction. Now, this is what these two angels were trying to do. And that was called the highway to heaven. But the problem is, although angels do help us, I believe in angels, and I know they help us. He probably helped you, Sally, in that fall you had, you know. It probably cushioned the fall so that you wouldn't hurt yourself. Well, that was probably your guardian angel doing that. But they don't control the doorway of life or the key to heaven, the door to heaven. They don't control that. Who controls that? It's Emmanuel. It's Emmanuel, the shepherding God who opens wide our heavenly home and shutting down the path to misery. He shuts that down. He closes one and opens the other. And that path to misery is what we're longing to be free of. That's why there's this longing in every one of these stanzas. And the theme of the next one, and the last stanza here, or not, that's not the last one, there's one more. The theme of the next stanza is humans long for light. Humans long for light when life's pathway is dark. And here's the verse. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. I want to explain this verse just with prophecies from the Old Testament and fulfillments in the New. Listen to this from another Isaiah passage, chapter 9, and read in the New Revised Standard Version. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way by the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. That was the prophecy. Now listen to this prophet who was in the temple when Jesus was being brought to be circumcised. Now there was a man, this is in Luke chapter 2, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to the people of Israel. That was the fulfillment, and he was seeing this, and the Lord had told him just exactly what they were longing for. Human hearts despair in the gloom of darkness. You know, people, they get more depressed around January, don't they? It gets darker in January, doesn't it? Some places up north, it's dark for all day long except for just a little bit of light sometimes. But human hearts despair in the gloom of darkness. But light dispels depression. Summertime is a time where people aren't usually depressed. Well, God is light. That's what the Bible says. God is light. And through Emmanuel, God with us, God will disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. The light of the Lord, He is God. Finally, the last stanza addresses human's greatest global need. What is humanity's greatest global need? O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of Peace. God's intention from the beginning was the unity of humanity. But sin brought us on a long history of sad divisions. Sad division, that is what this is called in this verse. Well, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, came not just as Savior from sin, but as King of Peace to bind in bind in one the hearts of all mankind, as this stanza says. We fail to find inner peace without sin's repentance or sin's release by the crucified Savior. It must be Jesus, the coming Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, crucified on the cross. It must be Jesus who releases us from sin. And religious efforts? Well, they're nice. But they never really bring what only God with us can bring in relationship with Him to the human heart. He can bring it alone. And then history. History's royal reigns, tyrannical rulers, promising politics. We get more of the promising politics these days, don't we? But all of those things in history never brought the freedom from war and the freedom from want that humanity longs for. Have they? Have they? No, they have not. In all of Earth's long history, it has not happened. But we will not see world peace. We will not see world peace without the coming rule of the King of Peace, as this scripture says, and as this song has so well brought out from Scripture. Rejoice, rejoice, says the ancient Christmas carol. Emmanuel shall come to thee. And the New Testament tells us that it's not just to Israel, but to all those who are lost in the darkness of sin, and to all those who are devastated by the political, the economic, and the cultural turmoil that this world is filled with. Emmanuel is coming back to bring the peace we all long for. But he has already come. He has already come to bring us the freedom from sin and the gloom that we experience already now today. He has already come. And that is what we're celebrating as we celebrate again this season that remembers His first advent. Let's pray. Father God, what a blessing this Christmas carol is. It contains so much, and we don't always sing all these verses, but they do give us a glimpse of all of the various aspects, the seven O's, the different, oh my God, you have done these things. You're doing these things for us. We long for you to do this. We long for you. And you have accomplished it by coming, by being God with us. Thank you, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that you might bless us and help us throughout this season to help others to find that longing in their heart that all these things talk about, all these stanzas of this psalm talk about, that longing that only you can fulfill. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.